This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Well, good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Well, tonight we're going to have a good show, and we're going to be talking about how a motivation coach changed my life. Okay. Motivation coach. My life. Tell you how they did it. The first thing they did was to seek a motivational coach. And after that, they were talking, and then one person asked, why do you need a vocational motivation coach? Okay. And some people say, well, you know, it's just a little bit of extra support along the way. Maybe not, but they can help you to modify your everyday routine by being more present for you, and a coach can help you to meet and even exceed your goals. Okay, one of the things that they do is to assess your situation. Where are you at currently? Where do you want to be? Sometimes it could be challenging to look at what you want to be, and you wonder if you can, how can you move forward to where you want to be? But you get the help of a coach, and what you want to do is to ask them, how far have they achieved success in their own lives? And they will teach you what they've done. So you kind of focus on how they changed their lives. And then you can create an action plan for you and your goals so you can have the biggest shot at success. And they'll help you. They'll fill you in on the strategies and tools you need to achieve your ultimate outcome. And then what you have to do is to track your progress. When you start achieving your goals, it isn't as simple as you think. You also need to manage your progress, and your coach will hold you accountable along the way. So you'll work right along with your coach, and they will help you. So tonight we're going to be talking about how a motivational coach changed my life, okay? So the first thing I'm going to do is introduce my co-host, Mr. Coleman. How are you?
I'm good, Jenny White. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And now I think I'm going to introduce our guest. Ms. Holland. How you doing?
Hello. How you doing? I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
I'm fine. So what do you think about motivational coach?
What I think about motivational coach, because you're speaking of what I do, I think it's wonderful to have a motivational coach. I will say during my time growing up, I wish I had someone who could motivate me in my life journey to help me to make better decisions when I had roadblocks and stuff like that to keep me moving forward. So I think a motivational life coach is excellent to have to help you when you're unsure or needing some guidance, you know. Not everybody willing to give you sound information that you would need to move you forward. You know, sometimes people be jealous and they'll hold back, but it's hard to find someone who's so real and down to earth and wants the best for you as they want for themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So having a motivating coach is really helpful.
Okay. So you really don't think that it's a bad thing? Because a lot of people, some I'll say, when they go and see psychiatrists and people start talking about them, they think that's negative, you know. I don't want to go see one of them. There's nothing wrong with me, you know, but those people are there to help you or help us.
Absolutely.
Why do you think that we get so upset about looking for people that might help us and being afraid to let anyone else know?
I think the key word is what you said was afraid of sharing their scars. Or sharing, it's pretty much just opening up their comfort zone to someone and sharing the information to look for help. Now, you have some people who love going to their psychiatrist because they feel better, or they like going
right.
speaking to their motivational coach because they get results, you know? You know, for me, you know, it's like when I were younger, I wouldn't want to go to nobody because I don't want nobody in my business. And I think that's what it is.
Right.
It's fear of somebody else in your business or what somebody might think of you or judge you and stuff like that. So that's what holds us back from going. Or sometimes people understand, like, well, hey, you got to be in my shoes to understand what I'm going through for you to really give me some information that's going to help me.
So,
and I think that would hinder us. Uh-huh.
Is that something that you think we should keep to ourselves and not tell anyone?
You know what? Each individual is different, and it all depends on where you're at in your life. If you feel, though, that you stuck and you know you're in a spot for about several years and you realize you ain't moving, somewhere down the line, you got to reach out to somebody.
You know what, though? A lot of people, they just don't see it that way. They don't see
they see
that they're not improving, and a lot of people commit suicide.
Because they feel, though, that they don't have any other outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
And they give up on trying.
And that's sad.
It is.
Because tomorrow your life could have been changed just for one day. You never know.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. And a lot has to do with your environment and the people who you're around, you know. I mean, the funny thing that comes to my mind right now is, I'm trying to think, it's one of the actors. You get so many actors that commit suicide, and we look at them, we're like, man, you got something. We look at them, and they got so much going on for themselves, and they got money. It's
right.
Like, how can you take your life? We don't get it. You know, I don't get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But obviously, there's other things that's going on, you know?
Well, can we just say, and get this out of the way, is that money, you know, is not going to give you what you need.
Of course.
You know, if you're having a hard time, I mean, you might have enough money to buy anything you want, but it's something that you need and it has nothing to do with money. And you can't figure it out because you thought that with all this money you had, you know, that you were there, but it was still something missing. So, you know, I can understand that. I can understand mm-hmm. that. Yeah, I
yes.
just, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I was just saying you're absolutely right when it comes to money. I mean, I know people who are very wealthy and they're miserable, they're unhappy and everything. So money cannot fix your problem. They always say you can't, money doesn't buy you love and happiness.
Hmm.
Money just buy you material things and get you
yeah.
where you need to go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting you should say that because the last time you were on our show, I mean, you
mm-hmm.
said something that you know, kind of, sort of helped me. And I thought that was really interesting. That,
okay.
Mm-hmm, yes. And you weren't motivationally talking as a coach, I don't think, but, you know. It was something that you said, and it, and when I did it, what was that you said to me? Do you
remember? I mean, no, ma'am. And just to let you know, I'm always in coaching mode. Unfortunately.
You were just saying about the difference. Remember you told me about the difference already?
The difference in-
Never mind.
Do you remember?
Of course I do. You were saying just listening to me, you saw a difference.
Well,
I mean,
you couldn't see
a difference, but you could hear it.
I can hear it, yes. Sometimes I can hear what is it that sometimes people are trying to say, but it'd be like a little block that they just can't get over that little hump. And then sometimes I just enlighten them with that information that they need to keep moving forward, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to recall last week on the phone conversation that we had. Was it on air? When we was on air, I mentioned it?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so it wasn't on air, okay. the difference about relationship was our last talk. But I'm trying to think. The difference about.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay,
we're talking about. We're talking about the coaches that, you know, that they can truly change your life if you listen to them. Some people don't think that anybody can tell them anything. That's the bottom
yes.
line. You know, you
yes.
you can't tell
yes.
me I got this and I got that and I got a doctorate and you don't. And how are you going to tell me what to do? You know, sometimes you just need to listen.
Absolutely. You know what? Also listen, and I notice just to be open. Be open to receive. You know what I mean? If you're open to receive, you'll get so much more out of it.
Yeah, but a lot of people aren't open. They're closed up, but they don't know it. Well, some of them do. Some of them just, you know, stay within themselves, and
mm-hmm.
they don't want to share what they
are. I was going to say, well, when I say open, meaning that pretend me and you having a conversation, and so we're talking about this life coaching, and I might say something that might open up something for you to take you to a whole different understanding. If you're
right.
willing to take that journey, then you can say, oh, I get it now, that part I'm talking about.
Right.
Like you say, sometimes But sometimes people think that, you know, they have all these characters, these initials behind their name, and you don't. Then that's when they kind of have that closed-minded and don't want to open up to learn more. You know what I mean?
Right, because you don't have all of those letters behind yours.
Yes.
So how can you know anything? But you'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
Some people are just, I mean, it just comes to them naturally.
Yes, it does. Yeah, some people just have a gift with it, you know?
Right, absolutely.
And if you think about biblical time, you know, Jesus did a lot. He didn't have no initials behind his name. He had so many messengers and prophets that didn't have no initials behind their name, and they helped so many people, you know? So
that's
true.
We're
in a different society, you know, different generation.
Yeah, but we need to do something better for our children, though. We need to do something better for our children because, right now it's kind of bad. And I haven't heard anyone say anything about any weapons, you know, any laws. I haven't heard anyone say about any new laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, Caucasian people are very, what can I say? They know they're getting to be a minority, and
mm-hmm.
they're afraid. They're afraid. That's why they want to change all these voting, you know, ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the majority now is not just people of color, but people, you know, mixed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got a lot of different people that are coming up, and they're just having a problem. And right now I have a listener who has a question or would like to make a point.
Oh.
Hi, Miss Lucy. How are you?
How are you? And how is our wonderful guest this evening?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. You know, and listening to you, I was thinking of, you remember that picture, Man of Honor, with Cuba Gooding Jr. playing Carl Bashir? You know, he was the first underwater diver for the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that picture, he said something when he was talking in the picture. He was trying to learn how to read. He just went to the seventh grade. And so the girl asked, how come it's so important to you? He said, because they told me I couldn't have it.
Huh.
And I'm going to show them that I can have it, you know. And they did so many ugly things to him. You know, Robert De Niro played his teacher, you know, and really dogged him around. But he hung in there, even to the point he nearly died in the water. Because he said, they say I can't have it, and I'm going to get it.
Yeah, that's
that was
interesting.
His attitude.
That's
it is. It was interesting how he brought it to say, yeah. A lot of
when
times, the negativism.
When somebody told me something like that I wouldn't do this, and just because they said it, I made it my point to do it.
Tell me about it.
I mean,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I just said
you can be motivated by something in a negative manner.
That's
in fact, a lot of my way of doing things was because people said so many negative things about me. You can't have this. You this. You always should wear black and brown because you're big and fat. You should wear this. Don't. You should wear tight things and so they won't see how fat you are. Look at the curls in your neck. I mean, and I wanted to, but I wanted a job. Okay, I wanted to be able to take care of myself because home was so stormy, and then I was a severe asthmatic. I couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really walk all the time. But I made up in my mind. I said, the only way I can get out of this and be able to take care of myself was I had to finish school. That's when I pushed, and I graduated at 16, you know, going on 17. But during
that
time, you could, if you go during the summer and take those three classes, you could go to the next grade. And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I put down as sick as I was. I was going to get out this mess. And a lot of times it was hard for me to walk. because I couldn't hardly breathe and stuff. But that was my motivation. I was getting out of this. I was tired of them telling me, you know, through the welfare, what I could. And I hate those saddle Oxford shoes. My daddy told me one time, he said, you do how you put your feet in two cows and you walk in with them. All the negative.
Yes. And you know, a lot has to do with the mindset. You know, and
that's
What did you say?
And you know, no, I was just saying a lot has to do with the mindset. And a lot of people who are put down and put down from people who negative, you have a lot of people who don't know how to let that go. I mean, some people are really stuck in what some people say about them. But the beautiful thing about you, you had that support and that strength that you needed to push you out. And by you going to school, I know you had teachers that showed you that they cared about you. And I think that
No, not during that time. Commerce was horrible. The high school commerce, it was the worst place ever.
It was filled with a lot of prejudice.
You don't always have teachers that are trying to support their children. I have experienced that. I have experienced that with my children, you know. And they'll tell you, well, he's not going to do anything, you know. He's just fooling around or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's horrible, I think. I just think you're going to always have people that are going to do that.
Yeah.
But like I said, when people do that to you, then that's when you change.
Absolutely.
That's
the motivation.
Yeah,
okay.
It does.
Yeah. And
if it's taken right, if you get mad enough about it, you're going to do something.
That's true.
Exactly.
You're
going to
do something about it, yeah.
Yeah,
because I don't have to take this, you know. I know you might see me still as a slave, but I'm a free person, you know.
There's a saying that when you get sick and tired of something, that's when
Tell
you start making
it.
The changes.
That is so true. That's so true. And then come to find out, when I finished at 16, I couldn't get a job because I was too young. I could pass tests, all of that.
Yeah,
I cried, Lord, I cried. It's always something.
Poor baby.
And then
they
told me to go and get some work experience, to work, you know, for somebody, a volunteer, and get some work. And then we'll can hire you. Oh, they do so many things away. That's the kind I appreciate Dr. King so much, because they had to stop, being prejudiced against heavy people, this person, that, all of that stuff. They had to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
They had to stop it. And then, you know, lose 50 pounds and come back.
Yeah.
You're too fat. We can't insure you. Lose 50 pounds. I mean, it was ugly. It was so ugly.
I bet they still do that today. We have another listener.
Yes,
hi,
go ahead.
Hi, listener. How you doing?
I'm doing great. TC from Detroit.
Okay, TC from Detroit.
Two quick points. The first one is you talked about how money doesn't bring you happiness. I remember back, I think it was in 1997, Malcolm Ford Jr. said, I have a lot of rich friends that are very happy. So for those people that say that money can't make you happy, I know a whole lot of those people. Of my friends who got a whole lot of money and ain't sitting around pitying themselves. That's one.
Uh-huh.
The second one is normally I said
money can't buy you happiness.
He said he got a lot of friends that are happy now. They're rich, but they're happy.
Okay.
So, because, you know, there was a long time, you know, black people's thing was, well, I'd rather be happy than rich. And I was like, I want the money. What's wrong with these people?
Both of them
help you be a little bit more happy, you know. And the second thing was, people that normally talk down to other people is either one or two things. Either they don't have what the other person got, or they feel feel like that's somebody for them to look down on.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fall on the person themselves. It falls on the people that's given the information.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, I remember, like you said, when you're in school, I remember I was in the fourth grade, and Mr. Fiddler, I know his name by heart, told me I was going to never be nothing. I'd never forget that. And after I graduated with my bachelor's degree, he was 93 years old. But somebody mm-hmm. had his number, a teacher had, and I called him. He didn't remember me, you know, because he was a white teacher, so he probably told all black kids that, you know. But I wanted him mm-hmm. to know that, hey, whatever he thought he knew, he did not know. And
all
the
right.
thing is, to have is an expert that don't know nothing. You get an expert in math. That doesn't mean he knows something about sociology, philosophy, or whatever. People are only experts in certain areas.
Correct.
You know.
And that's ill. Mm-hmm.
And that's where people make a mistake. Oh, you got a PhD, so you're supposed to know everything. If you got a PhD, you can realize that you don't know as much as you thought you did. That's what the PhD tells you. You know, but most people think it as a totally different way. I'm smarter than this person. I'm smarter. No. It just means you should understand that there's more information in the world that you need to know. Not that
Absolutely.
You're better than anyone else.
That's true.
You know.
Exactly. Every day you hear it is about learning something new.
Right. I think there was a saying, a person that knows everything misses half of the world.
Okay, say that again.
Huh?
Say
a person
it again.
That knows everything misses half of the world.
Okay.
Because
that
he's
makes
not
sense.
Letting anything else in. You see what I mean? He's just,
yeah.
you know, it's my thought and nobody else's thought. He'd be like a Donald Trump. You know?
Please
I can
don't.
Do a great
mention
deal. Yeah, okay.
His
now.
Name.
He can do a great deal for him, but not for you. You know, so that was all I had to say.
Well, I appreciate that,
Thank
Mr.
You.
TC from
very
Detroit.
Good, very good.
So right now, having been said that, why don't we take
mm-hmm.
a break? And we'll be right back.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show. Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at AAOMI.org.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Okay, so we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. And today we are talking about motivational coaches who can change your lives. So, Lucy, did you say that you finally got a job as young as you were? You found someone to help you?
I finally. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I finally got a job. But they had to go and check with the state before they were. I was hired in as a bookkeeper. It used to be Sammy Suffren's Wonder Bar downtown. And I was so fascinated with that bar and all of this, and I had to be like a bookkeeper and do the daily, and let him know what he earned, what his expenditures were, and I could set up the logs and things like that. And I really kept it good.
But and drink was, all the wine you could find.
No, I couldn't. Not eat the food, yes, but not the wine. Yeah, but and he really liked it, you know. But the woman that I worked across from, she was always saying these little jokes like, you know, girl, when I was down south, and my back was hurting me so bad. You know, this black woman with her little baby, you know, all these type of jokes she would tell me, and I just got tired of, you know, the baby. He was running around. He had boo-boo in his diaper. He was looking at me. All the time. And if that girl could really cross clothes and she could do this and she could do that. And here I am sitting across from her doing bookkeeping and running the adding machines and all of that stuff. And I had to deal with that. Finally, I got sick of it.
So did
and
you
she
quit?
Fell out and lied about something. Yeah, I got sick of her doing that, you know, to me, the way she was. And so they fired me, okay, and I had to go through and they wouldn't give me all my money, so I had to go through, you know, the state and file my claims and stuff, and they finally made them pay me unemployment. But all I wanted was a job, to work, to take care of myself. But that's what I ran into, that kind of prejudice and stuff like that. But I really enjoyed the job, you know. Then I would have to, you know, she trusted me I had to go every morning to the bank to buy change for the business to start. That's when Bill Kennedy and George Perot, you know, would come in, they had accounts and things like that, you know, and I would add it up, and, you know, it was really something, you know, but I was so hurt because I wanted my job, and then I had to wait some more, and finally at 18, the state hired me. The city wouldn't hire me because lose 50 pounds and come back. The federal government was, you know, somewhat doing that also, and then I tried to work with the Board of Education. I passed all their tests. Lose 50 pounds and come back, you know. I mean, you get sick of that, you know. And so, but finally, when the state, I was working for Mammoth Life Insurance on the Boulevard. Not that. It's just not white, but it's black people also, you know. We have our hang-ups, too.
Of course.
And I started working for them. But the state called me to, I worked about 3 weeks, and the state called me. I went for the interview. So I was ready for them to tell me, lose 50 pounds and come back. And then she showed me the steno pool and things like that. And so I said, well, don't you give out pictures? She said, no, we're not doing no physical. She said, you can have the job if you want it. I said, I want it. You know, so I worked in the steno pool. And I was so glad. And I ended up with 37 years with the state. I wouldn't go any place because I was so glad to get some place. You know, I wanted to deal. A lot of things, you know, happened during the years and stuff. But it was a job, and I thank God for it. And I was able to take care of myself and, you know, my children even after that. But it's what I went through with to get the job. And then how you have to keep your job and things of that nature. But he removed that one factor, and I was able to move ahead. But the things you have to deal with, That's the coming. I think of the late Dr. Martin Luther King. He did get us this far, as far as, you know, removing a lot of things, you know, prejudices and things. They couldn't hold the gangster anymore.
So are you saying that we have moved ahead?
We've moved ahead, but the problem is, I think we were so glad of moving ahead and getting things that somehow we didn't get the information to our children like it should have been. Sure, you can work, you know, but they, you know, they, oh, how can I say it? You know, you're so busy working and trying to take care and do keep body and soul together, especially when you have a single-parent household. It's difficult. You have to make sure you have this daycare, make sure that everything is there, plus take care of your job and do this and do that. It's an awful lot if you don't have that type of support. But somehow the message didn't get across to our kids, you know, our children, that you have to pay the bill. You have to do this. You have to do, you know. I was asking tonight, I asked one of the brothers at the church, I said, I want you to look up 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. My son keeps talking to me about the parents are not supposed, the children don't have to live for the parents, but the parents for the children. When the Apostle Paul is talking, I asked him, what does he mean by that? You know, this is what mm-hmm. he's saying. In other words, I'm supposed to take care of him for all my life. I said, you're out of your mind. I've shown you how. I've got you educated. And you should be further along. But somehow he feels that, you know, that's your job to take care of me. I said, you're out of your mind. I've raised you. And your earning power between 18 and 34 is where you really can, you know, they say as far as white children and black children, that's your earning power during that time, that you can build up and go either way, you know. And he just wants to sit down and wants me to help here and help here and help there. I said, no, I'm not helping anymore. Now I've done for you. But he's saying that this is what the Apostle Paul meant. Beg your pardon?
I'm saying, how old is your son?
He's 33. He'll be 34.
He's 34.
That's what he's saying, the Apostle Paul is saying. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14, the parents are supposed to live for the children, not the children for the parents.
Is there a reason why he's saying that?
He wants somebody to take care of him. I said, listen, I should be able to call upon you for some help now that I'm older, you know.
What's that scripture?
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. You have to go through the entire verse.
Second.
He's trying to say the parents are supposed to do for the children, not the children. I say, no, it's time for you to step up to the plate. I should be able to call upon you for help.
You said he's 33 years old. What have you been doing since then?
At first he started off working and all this, and he was good, you know, all this, but something has happened since that time.
Okay.
He was at Wayne State. I said, you should have finished college by now. He gets mad. Well, I did this now. I said, no, you should have been through by now and making your way. I said, now, after a certain day, he started sliding down. Like they were saying, black people, as far as earning power is concerned, as you know, it's equal between the white and the black children during that time. But if you don't use it wisely, you know, you don't have anything when you come down to retirement. I think they said the income of black families and retired people is $46,000 a year. For the white families, it's something like $302,000 more, you know. When you retire, they have, you know, they have, they can, you know, they pull more. You know, and I said, but, you know, you have to learn how to invest. You have to learn how to do this and that. And I had one son who was thinking about investing and stuff like that. You know, I was telling him about that.
When you mentioned that something happened to your son, is your son getting help to overcome what happened to him so he can move forward in his thinking?
Beg your pardon?
I said, when I asked you what was your son doing prior to now, you said he was working, but then something happened. Something happened that changed his mindset to thinking that you're supposed to take care of him for the rest of his life. Is he seeking help to help him get out that mindset that he's supposed to do for self?
No, he's not even trying. No. No, he's not trying at all.
Is there any men from your church that can help guide him?
He won't listen. He don't want to listen to anybody. He won't listen at all.
There's nobody at the church that you can recommend that he will at least try to listen to?
He feels that, he's got this mindset of, that from college. Well, those are not the true Jews over there. They ain't got nothing to do with them Jews over there. I'm looking at you right now. You know, and all that college stuff that he's coming out with. I said, but you should be through with college by now. You can go out since you're about 17 or 18, finish the college, get him to finish it. I've helped him as far as getting furniture for college and stuff like that. He done lost everything. That was a bill I had to pay. Come on.
Uh-huh.
He got money. He said, your time clock is ticking. And I said, my time clock is longer. I said, you're right. And I'm not going to waste no more of my time clock on you. You know what I mean?
I have another person that would like to speak. Hey, TC.
Okay. Oh, you want me to? Oh, I had a question. A lot of things that we look at as barriers are not always barriers. Sometimes they hold us back until we can develop the things that make stuff work. I'll give you an example. When my daughter graduated from University of Michigan, right? And she got her first job. Now, this was in, Fawn is like 36 now. So this had to be, 2000, somewhere like that. And when she graduated with her bachelor's degree and on an honor program and everything, guess what the first job they offered her, how much it was paying?
How much?
$10 an hour. And she said, Dad, I didn't get all this work, and all they're going to pay me is $10 an hour. What am I going to do? I said, you're going to take the job.
You
got to
work your way up.
Then work your way up, now 10 or 15 years later, now, she's got two jobs, both paying better than $90,000 at the same time because she's working from home. So she's actually doing two jobs and going to college. But, she said, Dad, all those little steps in between there? I said, yeah. She said, I know more than half the people there at the place. I said, you got to
help them prepare. That's good, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of things that help you prepare that you don't know. And all of a
that
sudden, it's going to all come together, and you're going to, and you're going to be amazed. But if you start knocking off, I ain't going to do this. I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do the other. You're kind of limiting things for maybe 10 years from now, 15 years from now, I think most men's problem are that they do not, they don't have the faith. They don't have the faith in God, and they don't have the faith in themselves. How can you tell me something that I don't know if I don't know it?
You have to learn.
And as you move those little steps, hopefully your faith grows in yourself as well as in your God. And I think that is the biggest thing that I think that in my life was Jesus Christ. Because like I said, that's the only all my other friends are doing the same thing, but they weren't moving ahead. But for some reason, for me, it was like you go to a place, you do an interview, and I sit down with the guy. And, the guy, it's only supposed to be, a 15-minute interview. 2 hours later, I'm like, I got to go. I got to tell this guy. Oh, well, you got the job, by the way. I meant to tell you. So what it is when God starts moving for you and you start moving with him, you'd be amazed at the things that come together.
Yeah,
And you'd be amazed. I just tell this one story. I was working out in Kansas City. And I was the only black person there that can tell the plant manager, if I said, no, you can't ship those cars, you can't ship them. because it was in my control, right?
Uh-huh.
So every time I go to a meeting, all of a sudden, every problem was a powertrain problem, which I was the powertrain manager, right? I don't care if it was the paint of the car. I get in there, well, you know, that powertrain person didn't do that and didn't do the other stuff. And then they'll bring up like, oh, right now we, oh, this I'm going to tell. So I went to the meeting, and as I was coming out to the meeting, I was walking by this guy's desk, and he was on the phone with one of the VPs at General Motors. He said, you know, that powertrain guy y'all sent us ain't worth 2 cents. He said another word again with S, but I don't say that.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I stuck my head on that. I said, hey, you talking about me? He said, yeah. So I said, who are you talking to? He said, I'm talking to the vice president of powertrain. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, we had 6 cars that, which were, we call pilot cars, that were built, and none of them is running, and the powertrain guy ain't said anything about it. You know, what are y'all going to do? And I said, sir, do me a favor. I said, give me tell in the morning, and I'll call you, because these people didn't tell me anything about what was going on, right? So they, you know, so he said, okay, Tom, 6 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have a meeting, and you let me know what's going on. Went out back to the cars they were talking about that wasn't running, that he called the vice president of powertrain on the General Motors. You know what it was? They forgot to put gas in the car.
What? dummy.
They forgot to put, I'm like, wait a minute, you calling up to, you know, talking to VPs while I'm not doing my job, and you forgot to put gas in the car. So, of course, that morning, I was there at 5 o'clock, right? Then at 6 o'clock coming, still ain't no call. 7 o'clock coming, ain't no call. 8 o'clock. I said, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to have a call. Oh, well, we told him, don't worry about it. Don't worry. But see, my name is already out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know. But that taught me a lot of other things what I needed to look out for, you know, because it never happened again. I'm just saying, you know, you hit spots and you don't understand why, but by the time all of it gets to the top of by you or say ready to retire, you'd be amazed at the things that you have encountered and, you know, that really were just stepping stones. They seem like major things
true.
At the time, but they were really actually.
Very good. I like that. I've got a question for our guest as well. And being a motivational coach, actually a couple questions. Did you have a motivational coach in your life? Mm-hmm. This is for our guest.
No.
Ms. Holland?
No, I haven't. Yeah, yes, I'm here. No, did I have a motivational coach?
Yes.
You know what? I was working with a company when I was 21 years old, and from 21 to 35, I had the best boss and vice president that helped motivate me into business and helped me to learn myself. And that's the only type of motivation I had. But being young, you know, growing up, you know, you have your mother and your father motivate you and stuff like that. But the company that I work with really support and believed in me that I can do anything, and they motivate me to be where I'm at today.
Very good. Now, the other question is, and being a motivational coach, do you think a woman can be a good motivational coach for a man, or a man can be a good motivational coach for a woman?
You know what? I will say I really only focus on women. And the only reason why is because men, for a woman to try to motivate a man, I have noticed in my journey, men doesn't receive it so well. You know, it's like, to be honest, because of my personality and who I am, they end up, you know, liking me. And it's like, no, I'm here to help you, you know. And so I realized for me to stay in that lane, I focus only on women. I would love to help the men, but I think the men need to help the man, and I need to help the woman because I can relate so much better with a female than I can a man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can see that, yeah.
Now, in motivational coaching, what would you say would be the top three steps, you know, starting from the beginning and moving on, you know, to the top three steps for you?
For me, as in helping someone?
Yes.
Okay, well, but first to be open and understand and be willing to listen and willing to make some changes and identifying that you do have issues. You feel like you're stuck. You can't move forward. You know what I mean? Somebody coming out and saying, hey, I need your help. When I can receive that, then, hey, I'm here to help you. Tell me what your problem is, and let's go from
okay.
there.
Now, with that, what has you found, and I know it varies with, you know, everybody's different, what have you found to be some of the barriers for some of the clients that you worked with in getting them unstuck? And just give a couple of examples, you know, some people that you work with and some of the things that have been challenging for them.
To be honest, a lot of, and I'm going to say all, even myself, a lot of us are stuck from childhood trauma that
all
we
right.
have
wow.
kept moving. We have kept moving forward in our journey in life and still holding on issues that happened in the past that we don't know how to let go. And so we think we okay. We still carrying that Band-Aid as we keep moving forward and not realizing that we need to still heal from issues, whether how our mama treated us, how our daddy, or whatever issue that we're dealing with, we need how to let go and look at the bigger picture of why that took place so you can be able to heal and move forward.
Okay. Now, is there an age where you feel someone is just beyond help, or, you know, as long as they're open, there's an opportunity to help someone move forward?
Yes, as long as they open, is opportunity, because they still living. They obviously, yes, they still growing, they still living. And to be honest, I just had somebody who was like, I think she was, Lisa, her late 79 or something like that. And, you know,
right.
we were talking about COVID. We were talking about COVID, and she married, and she still was lacking love. And so, I mean, it was an aha moment for her that I shared with her,
okay.
and she's still thriving. So it was a good thing. But, yeah, there's no number.
Now, do you have an age with whom you work with? Do you work with school-age kids, college kids, over 18?
I work with anybody that's willing to be open and know that they need some help and guidance.
Now, for someone who wanted to reach out to you to get some assistance, how would they get in touch with you? You have a number, website?
I have a website. It's Charmaine Holland, and that's Charmaine Holland, Holland, like the country.com.
Very good. All right. And now, what does your assessment or evaluation of someone who's interested in working with you consist of?
Pretty
so
much anything. I mean, it's almost an assessment of where. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's having a conversation with them. I do like a 15, 30-minute free consultation so at least they can get an idea of how I am. I'm straightforward. I'm going to keep it real, but I'm going to be gentle with love. And long as they're willing to be open and to receive the information that I'm sharing, and there's a good energy among us too, then we good. And then we go from there. Because sometimes, you know, you get people where they just want to talk, and they're not hearing themselves, you know, and then they're not even being open for me to even help them. I don't waste my time and energy. I just say, you know what, this is not going to be a good fit. And I keep it moving because they know they need help, but they're not ready to be open to receive what they need help with.
What would you say is one of your biggest successes in helping someone? And what would you say is one of your biggest, not necessarily failures, but, you know, challenges where you work with someone and it's, you just couldn't do anything for them?
You know, I never had anyone where I could not help them because, see, all I can do is give you advice, a solution. You got to do the work. If you hear what I'm saying and you understand it and there's a light bulb that comes on and say, you know what, I get it. I see what I need to do. I'll give you assignment. But if you don't do what you need to do, I can't help you. And if you come back, I can tell whether you ain't making no progress because it's your energy that you can pick
now,
up and say, okay, you know, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask if you could, you know, give us an example of someone that you work with that you so proud of, not only yourself, but of the, you know, accomplishments that the person made, the revelations that they, you know, had during the process.
You know, I've been doing this since I was 23 years old, and what really made me realize that this is a gift that I have been blessed with, I was a CFO, and they used to always say CFO/psychiatrist. And people would come in my office, and they would tell me their life story, and they would cry. And I'm thinking, what the heck are y'all in here for, you know? And it wasn't until COVID took place for me to really step out and say, you know what, this is me. This is all my gifts. I got to give it to the world because so many people are hurting. So back to your question.
Right.
I'm gonna have one recent one that just took place. Because of COVID, and there's a lot of relationships are growing, and there's a lot of relationships are dissolving, okay? So I had a conversation with someone, and I asked them, I said, hey, how is your marriage? You know, how is that coming along? And they said, you know, it's okay. You know, it's not the best or whatever. And I said, well, what are you looking for, you know? And someone said, I'm looking for love. And I said, you're looking for love? I said, what do you mean you're looking for love? And I'm thinking, well, you don't look for love, you give love. Love got to come from inside. And so I said, well, do you know what that looked like? And they couldn't tell me what that looked like because they didn't have it in them. And so you get into these relationships and people wanting love, but they don't even know how to give love because they never experienced it. They don't even know what it looked like. All I know, I want love. And so they feel good when they got material stuff on. But I said, if you stand in the mirror and be butt naked, tell me, do you love yourself then? And they couldn't answer that question because of childhood has ripped them apart where they don't know how to love because of the hurt and the pain that they still carry it. So I had to give assignment to one of my clients. And I said, I need you to do me one favor. I said, for 7 days, write something about yourself that you love or you like. I said, start with like. Just write something for 7 days that you like. That person called me back seven days later, and I could hear the energy. They was laughing. They was joking. They was, you know, just, I mean, I could just feel the energy. And I was like, have you been doing your homework? And they said, yes. I said, I can hear it in your voice. And they said that they've been laughing and playing around with their husband. And I said, well, do you normally do that? She said, no, I don't normally do that. And she didn't even realize the change that she'd been doing by me bringing it to her attention. And she said, girl, she said, you have changed my life. Only by, I said, no, you changed your own life. You did the work. I just told you to do it, and you did it. And so that was, I mean, that touched me in a way. It was like, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Good.
So that's one
all
of
right.
them. I never had any bad ones, to be honest. I'm trying to remember. Have I had any bad ones? No, the bad ones is those who just don't do the work.
Now, what's the what's the youngest person that you've ever worked with?
Around 20 years old. I haven't had any teenagers have come to me, but about 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And most of the time, they deal with anxiety. You know, stuff like that.
All right. No, I think it's very important to have a mentor or a motivational coach and help to set you on the path that you to, you know, be the person that you want to be and possibly find some of the things that you're missing in your life that will get you closer to being happy. with who you are as a person. And I think, you know, for women, and I think it's a lot of different support groups and things out there for women and Black Girl Magic and, you know, Girls Rock and, you know, but I think it's also important for men, and I don't know that men have that support system. You know, I know that, you know, it's frowned upon for a man to cry because it's looked at as weakness. And I think that a lot of men deal with things and hold it in. And, you know, and the same could apply to women, you know. But just as far as the support system for men, I think that it may even be viewed as a sign of weakness to look for support. I don't know that it's advertised, you know, hey, you know, we're here to help brothers that need help emotionally, or because, you know, being a man and being trying to find your way and being a young father and the challenges that come with that, you know, and being Black, you know, being a Black man has its own challenges. And so I think that, now let me ask you, do you have any counterparts that you know, men, that are motivational coaches or mentors that do what you do?
No, I don't. I wish I do. I have two young men. I had a 35 and a 30 and a 27, and they come to me, you know, but there's only so much they're willing to listen. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So if
yeah.
I had a good motivating, like, you know, somebody like myself, a life coach, motivation, I would definitely point them over to my boys. You know, look, like, hey, talk to this man. Y'all need to speak to this guy. I would.
Yeah.
And there's so many men
yeah.
that's hurt and broken that need my help and support. But it's like, you know, it's like, if I could, I'll reach out to them.
Yeah.
As much as I can, when I do see them, I try to give them a little guidance. I ain't going to turn my back on men. Men come
yeah.
away, I
yeah.
try to give them a little something, but I keep them moving. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, well, I think your services, you know, are definitely needed and important. And I think, you know, we just have to be able to promote our mental health, you know, in our churches and in our other social organizations. And if you can, again, give us your website so that, you know, anyone that's interested in motivational coaching needs some assistance and have questions can reach out to you. What is that again?
Yes, I think Charmaine Holland. So it's CharmaineHolland and Holland, HOLLAND. So CharmaineHolland.com.
All right, Jenny White.
Yes, I just wanted to make one comment. I was listening to T.D. Jakes. I think
yeah.
it was last night, or that he comes on all the time, so I'm not sure, but I think it was last night. But he said something that resonated with me too. He said, I'm tired of, how did he have it, mourning over my past. He said, I will not moan and groan over my past anymore. I'm through with that. And I thought that really hit me because, you
mm-hmm.
know, any time that there's quiet or something, you know, something might come into your head of what happened, you know, yay, before you got to be, what, 20 or whatever. But, you know, that makes so much sense to me. That really made a lot of sense to me. Why keep
mm-hmm.
going back, dragging that piece of life into the future? And when you do that, you slow yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot
Absolutely.
Of times you don't go forward. You're not going forward as much as you could because you still got that rope
around your neck from 19, what, 46, whatever, 56, you know. And at some point, you have to understand and know that it's over, it's done. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can change about it. So what you need to do is to get up and create a new picture for yourself. Because
you know
tomorrow
what?
is gone and today is present. And the future tomorrow is not given to us. You know, it's not given to us. So we don't know if we're going to wake up in the morning. So let me see. I have another caller.
Uh-huh.
Caller, you're on.
Hey, good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, thanks. Hey, I think I heard the show a couple weeks ago. Correct me if I'm wrong. Were you the one that was farting the alphabet on the air, and then you actually shit yourself when you got to the letter D? Or is that...
Oh, no, no, that wasn't me, no.
Oh, fuck. All right, well,
man,
I'll start calling other shows and asking the same question and see if I can find you did it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
I'd like to say something, Jenny, and what you're saying. Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, a lot of people, what you're saying is true. We have to let go of our past, and I can feel on a personal issue, you know, personal things that happened in my life. But I'm telling you this. A lot of evangelical people, especially a lot of white people, are saying, listen, you black people, you keep focusing on slavery and reparations and stuff. And they said, first of all, that's over with. You keep focusing on that because you're a citizen of the United States. There are opportunities out there and all of this. But you keep looking to the back when you should be concentrating on on your present and your future. And a lot of the problems that you're facing now is because of how you... so many of you are living in your community. They say there are drugs there. There's a lot of single-parent households and things like that. You put yourself in that position. Well, you should be trying to straighten up in those areas, you know, all this stuff. They keep saying, but you keep focusing on what happened in slavery.
Right.
And it would be true, but my thing is, look, we have from the beginning, when they said that we were emancipated, some slaves stayed, and you know, because they're older, they stayed in that way, but a lot of them moved out. The problem is we're not bringing it up. You keep bringing it up. Every time we make a move forward, you know, as far as, you know, from the time of emancipation, like Texas was late and wouldn't even tell the people they were emancipated and all this other stuff.
Right.
Okay, but they started making progress in their lives. We always have. But you would find some way to push us back. Because in your mind, you still have that white supremacist attitude that we are supposed to be subservient to you. Okay, then I said, this is the problem. You keep putting it back in our face. Okay, we go for it. We got our own schools. We got our own this, our own little cities and all of this. Here you come bombing everything. 1921, they bombed that place. We had our own. Look at Rosewood. We had our own. Somebody lied. Here you go in there. Killing up our people. And this is the biggest problem we're faced with now. You keep throwing it back. We're not trying to. We say, yeah, you owe us, but we're still trying to move ahead with what we have. You keep throwing it back in our face in order to keep us subservient, three-fifths of a person and all of this. You keep doing this. It's not us. It's you. Because in your mind, you know, we're supposed to be subservient, not have the right as a citizen, you know, as white people. That's the way you see it. You keep throwing back in our face. Okay, you keep bringing it back up and finding some way to minimize us, to marginalize us, to keep us in that way. This is the problem. This is what you're doing. You hear a lot of that now. Leave slavery alone. We do leave it alone. You know what? 1876, they made that decision they ended our Reconstruction and stuff because Rutherford B. Hayes and Tilden, it was messy, you know. So the committee came together in 1876. They said, okay then, you know, you want to be president? We'll let Hayes be president, but we want you to do this. Pull all the Northern troops out of the South and let us make our own rules. Because
right.
they needed that cheap labor because the South was broke. They were embarrassed. They were mad that black people were moving ahead and stuff with what we had. Now you had to pay for my services. You had to pay for me to put to plow your field or whatever. You had to pay for my services. They didn't like it because they were broke. And here you are looking at your former slave master face to face. You could vote. You could do this. You could do that. All of this, they didn't like it. And that was the agreement. That
and they still don't.
Yeah, and that
and
1876
they still
decision,
don't.
It came to the compromise of 1877 when they pulled all the Northern troops out of the South. That story, Freedom Road, with the Muhammad Ali playing Gideon Jackson, it shows you what happened to black people. And the black people, black United States citizens, they turned trying to get help from the federal government like we're doing now, you know. The federal government would listen, turn a deaf ear to it. Children were made to work in mines. They did everything to us. And still we try to, you know, to handle the situations and things like that. But you keep doing it. You keep doing it. Like this last election, I was listening to one of the people talking about, we know that election, something was wrong with that election. No, it wasn't. The thing that lets me know wasn't anything wrong with that election because you started changing things again. Every time you change, you change. You change. Now, they say about 17 states, this voter suppression thing, they changing it now. You can't even get a glass of water while you stand in line. Something is ridiculously wrong. No, it's not us. It's you that's doing it. It's you that's doing it because, like you were saying, they've been marginalized. Other people are going, did nobody tell you to let abortion take effect? You had the power in your hand. But you were so busy trying to keep your neighborhood pure, you didn't see what those people were doing. And now you're saying, we got to stop all this abortion. Your women want to be out there. They don't want to sit home and have them babies and wait on you to give them a piece of bread. They want to be out there, you know, giving you competition now. They don't like that. But they have to,
well,
they
for,
keep throwing it back up in our face.
Well, for the first time since 1790, the white population in the latest census has declined. So that's why they're, you know, doing all this gerrymandering and voter suppression.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
that they can, you know, they can redistrict the...
They can control. They can be in control
yeah.
no matter what.
Yeah.
If every
yeah.
person
they
in the United States voted for one
where,
kind. Yeah.
Yeah, they can win in areas where they, you know, are...
They can win no matter what.
Right.
In control.
Pretty much.
But you're the ones that let all this mess get through in the first place. That abortion issue, even the homosexual issue. You could have done something about that because Eisenhower was fighting that homosexual issue back then. He was fighting it. And this whole thing with the LGBTQ and all that, that's a white supremacist move. Black people, you're going to be that way. They were going to do our business, going about our business. They want to have that. This is my right to have that. This is my right. This is my right. I can be this way. I want Social Security for my partner. I want this. We ain't worried about that. Now, some of us are jumping on the bandwagon, you know. But that's basically a white man's issue. We're not worried about that.
There's that saying, if I don't want you to arise, what do I need to do? Oppress you. I need to bring back old things that will keep you down.
That's what they've been doing.
Absolutely.
It is. That's what it is. And so the last time I heard of that date, 1876, I was listening to it. It was on January 6th, 2021, when I was watching. I didn't even pay attention to that electoral vote. But I said, let me see what they're talking about. Here I am sitting there listening to how they're counting the votes and they're doing this and going through all them changes. And then when it came to Arizona, they said, we're going to talk about Arizona's, what happened in Arizona. Why did the Democrats take it over? So they broke off into a committee, and this one person who was speaking, he said, now, we should get a committee together to talk about the votes in Arizona, something like that. He said, you know, like they did in 1876. Now, this is 2021. I said, wait a minute. 1876, that's when they Reconstruction ended, and they threw us back into minimal, you know, servitude. And everywhere they could.
Well,
I said, what is he talking about?
They're bringing back the old playbook. That is. They bring it back.
They bring it back the old playbook. And, you know, that's just
They can do what they want to change the laws, all of this stuff.
Without voting on this voters' right bill, you know, which is giving these states more time
to put in. And they keep the filibuster going and all this mess. Yeah, all of this stuff.
I said, wait a minute.
And that's when those people rioted in the Capitol. January 6th, 2021. I said, who is that? What is he talking about? Is he serious? Yes, he was serious.
Ooh, we got Miss Lucy.
Yes, he was very serious.
I'm telling you.
Put that glass of wine down. We got Lucy started.
I'm sorry. You know what?
It's Friday.
You can see it in her voice.
She say she ain't gonna be
Excuse me.
Say lose 50 pounds. Call me back in the morning.
I think I lost 50 pounds talking 2 minutes ago. But this is what they want.
It's real.
We truly understand. Everybody frustrated with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is. No matter what we do, they're going to find a way to change it. When you see them changing stuff like that, it's because we made it. And they can't stand the fact that we made it.
They can't stand it. And they're not going to stand it. And you see, still want... Trump was supposed to be back in the office in this month, wasn't it? Wasn't it this month?
Today.
Yeah, that's what they're planning on how he's going to take over the governor, take over the United States being president in days instead of a year. How he's setting it down, how he's going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and all that other stuff. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know,
we're living through history right now. We're living through history, you know, not only the pandemic, but with all this racism and voter suppression, we're living in the midst of it. And so what we do now will determine whether we save our democracy as we've known it.
You're right.
Or if we will be subject to the authoritarianism of a select group of individuals who want to control not only all the money, I mean, because it was, I think, three billionaires who made over, I think, $2 trillion in the past 18 months.
What?
I think it was just three of them. So, you know, they made so much money. It's ridiculous.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, because of COVID. And so right now, you know, we have to actively go out and support our legislators that are supporting us and putting together the legislation. Well, they've got the For the People Act that they're trying to, Joe Manchin's trying to renegotiate and slim that down, you know, in regards to what can and can't be done. So it's very interesting, and we have to be on top of it, and we have to be woke through this process and very vocal. And then we have to prepare our children for it. I think some of our children are so oblivious to what's going on around them, they really won't know until it smack them in the face when they, you know, see the limitations that they come up against. And I've got, you know, children, too, you know, in their 2 in their 30s and 1 in their 20s. That, you know, and I just don't know, you know, how involved they are with what really is going on and how it's affecting them. So it's real. It's real out here in these streets.
Yeah.
You got that right.
It is. Thanks so much for allowing me to sound off.
Of course.
Well, you can vent anytime you like. Well, Miss Holland, it has been a pleasure.
I don't get anything if they would.
No. I was just saying, you know, it's been a pleasure having Ms. Allen on. And,
well, thank you.
You
very
know,
much so.
Yeah, and I think, you have any last words that you'd like to tell our guests? And you can give your website again one more time as well.
Okay. I just wanted to say that it is so important to just be happy. And I know sometimes people don't understand happy. Me, my personality, I'm happy. I wake up in the morning. They always say joy come in the morning. Every day that we wake up, there's opportunity for growth. There's opportunity to learn. There's opportunity for so much of letting go and moving forward. And that's what we deal with on a day-to-day, as we live in. You know, it's all about opportunities, learning, and moving forward. So I just want to just leave with that, you know, is that if you feel, though, that you're stuck and you need some guidance and you just can't figure it out, you can always reach out to me. My name is Charmaine Holland. I am a motivational life coach. I will motivate you to move forward. At least that's my goal. I will try my best to help you. So you can always find me on my website, which is www.charmainholland.com. Blessings to everyone.
Thank you
for having me.
And don't forget, for women only.
for women only. Thank you,
brothers, you're on your own. You just got to walk around depressed so you can find somebody to help you.
I think she would
help
you.
Don't worry.
Help
is coming.
If a brother do come through, I'll help a brother. I won't close the door on him. I'll help him. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I figured. Right. Yes.
It's up to them to receive.
Especially
just
my.
As long as he knows that he's promised. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say this is that since that's my son, and if he had wanted you to help him, I will ask you not to be, you know. Special to women. Help my child.
Yes, ma'am.
No,
yes,
I mean, you know, everybody knows Elaine, and she knows hers. I'm not mad at that.
Yes, I do. It's just sometimes it's the visual. It's like when you're standing in front of someone and they see you and they hear you, and it's like, wow, wait, who is she? Then the line starts to go. But if I'm on the phone, we're Zooming, totally different, you know, totally different environment. So if any brothers come my direction, I'm willing to help. Long as, like you said, long as everybody know they lane, we're good.
All right. We appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, I was going to ask. Go ahead, Jenny.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to ask Sister Lucy if she had any final words, but I think she had all her final words.
It is finished, huh? No, I would like to say this. I remember Bishop Jake said this. He was trying to, he was going to have a special class or a special session to talk about the way men think and the way they do and all this stuff and talk to the men and stuff, you know. He said more women showed up at that meeting because they want to know, how can I get they want to learn about how they can better relate to men, especially black men. He said there were more women in that meeting than there were men because they want to know. They want to know, how can I relate? How can I build this relationship? Help me to get through to my son, my husband, or whatever. What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And they want to know. And he was surprised at that. He was saying that. More women showed up at that meeting. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Is Brother TC still here?
Let me see.
I guess not.
He's here.
Oh, okay. I was just going to see if he had any.
Yes, great show. That's all I have to say. Great show.
All right. And my final words would be it was a very good show. And I think that, you know, it's a lot of people walking around depressed and don't even know it. You know, there are people that, you know, when they get in that state of mind, they're hard to find. You know, they don't return your phone calls. They don't want you to see them in that condition. And sometimes, you know, relationships go apart. You know, I think that you know, not only the pandemic has affected people's mental health, but some of these athletes and their young athletes have been brave enough to take a stand and say, you know, I'm important. You know, it's about mm-hmm. me, and step back. And I think that that is empowering other, not only athletes, but people to say, you know what, I do need help. There are times when I feel vulnerable or, you know, I do need help with certain things. And so I think that the mental health conversation is important. And there was a
the state
cut money to mental health and closed hospitals and put a lot of people on the streets. And, you know, and a lot of these police with civilian encounters are because of people's mental health conditions, you know, and they need to be dealt with in a different way. I think we've got a long way to go, and, you know, I really don't know what the outcome will be, but, you know, just having people like Ms. Holland out here, encouraging. And, I think having more shows like this will be very helpful. Jenny?
We're trying to find solutions very much.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the last thing that I need to say is just be brave. Say how you feel. Leave the job you hate. Find your passion. Love with every ounce of your bones. Stand up for what you believe in. Don't settle. And never, ever, ever apologize for who you are. And with that having been said, I will say good night. Everybody have a great weekend. And don't forget to say your prayers. This has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night.
Good night.
Night-night.